This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Hampden County Sheriff Nick Cochi says that 79 prisoners and 20 staff members have tested positive for the coronavirus at the county jail in Ludlow. This comes amidst allegations by attorneys for two prisoners that the State Department of Correction is trying to hide the number of people dying of COVID-19 in its custody. WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker has been reporting on how Massachusetts correctional facilities are handling the coronavirus pandemic, and she joins us now. Deb, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, really, Deb, I was taken aback by the numbers at Hampden County, but this actually isn't a one-off situation. Can you give us kind of a rundown of coronavirus infections in state correctional facilities?
Right. Well, as the virus has increased throughout Massachusetts, it has also spiked in jails and prisons. Starting at about the end of October, several correctional facilities have reported outbreaks. The Essex County Jail, the Massachusetts Alcohol and Substance Abuse Facility in Plymouth actually stopped accepting admissions for those who are civilly committed to addiction treatment because of an outbreak there. MCI Norfolk had a very large outbreak. And most recently, as you mentioned, the Hampden County Jail and MCI Shirley. MCI Shirley right now has the highest number of infected prisoners, 167 men there testing positive as of yesterday. There are 13 prisoners hospitalized in local hospitals with COVID-19. And since the pandemic began, 8 men in state prisons have died from COVID-19 and 2 men in county jails.
So what are officials saying they're going to do to reduce the spread, or what are they doing?
Well, both the jails and the sheriffs who oversee the jails and the prisons and the State Department of Correction, which oversees the prisons, say they've been taking several steps. They've banned visitors, they've increased cleaning, and they're doing more testing. The DOC says it's done more than 16,000 tests across all of its prisons. It says that it does comprehensive mobile testing and day-to-day testing of anyone who is symptomatic. After the Hampden County outbreak yesterday, the sheriff said that staff members who are positive are at home quarantining. All positive cases of prisoners are showing no symptoms or mild symptoms, and he says they're receiving around-the-clock medical care and medical quarantine. And he also said that any new admissions to the Hampden County Jail are quarantined for 14 days before they're allowed to go into the general population. Various steps that they say they've been taking really since the pandemic began to try to mitigate this.
So you just talked about quarantining. I have trouble imagining that prisons and jails have a lot of excess space for social distancing, keeping inmates separate.
That's right. Many of the prisoners, as you can imagine, are sharing very small cells. Some prisoners are in dormitory units with dozens of other prisoners. And these medical quarantine units are different depending on the facility. We've heard from several prisoners. We've communicated with them, and they say that there is a real risk. But these quarantine facilities themselves tend to be large rooms where many men go, in some cases, to be monitored for symptoms. In other cases, men are put in single cells, almost what some prisoners say, almost like solitary confinement, to try to keep them away from the rest of the population and keep the virus from spreading.
You have been reporting on a story about two Massachusetts prisoners who were granted medical parole only after they were hospitalized with COVID-19. They died shortly after, and that means their deaths may not be included in the state's reporting of COVID-19 prisoner deaths. I wonder, do prisoner advocates trust the testing and tracking data that's coming from the Department of Correction?
Well, there are a lot of questions, I guess. These two prisoners that you mentioned had been denied medical parole, and yet when they were very ill and hospitalized, medical parole was granted. And in both cases, that happened one day before these men died. One man was incarcerated at MCI Shirley, and his attorney is Ruth Greenberg, and this is what she said.
My client was released between 6 and 8 hours before his death. It appears that was so that his death could not be counted as an inmate death at Shirley.
Now, the DOC says that it is trying to reduce the prison population and trying to deal with the spread of the virus throughout correctional facilities. And it says it's taken, among the precautionary measures it's taken, is the use of medical parole for prisoners who are eligible under state law. And I think that's the key there, because the state medical parole law allows for prisoners to be paroled only if they're terminally ill and incapacitated. So COVID alone is not a reason to get medical parole, even if someone has underlying health issues. So legally, the Department of Correction is probably within its legal rights to not grant medical parole unless someone is already incapacitated. But the attorneys point out the medical parole law wasn't necessarily written with a pandemic in mind.
Well, with the numbers that you've given us, it sounds like the situation with the virus in state correctional facilities really is dire. So what are political leaders, I'm talking the governor, the legislature, doing about it?
Right. Well, this has been discussed by various lawmakers on Beacon Hill. It's the subject of a lot of litigation. Most of the efforts to deal with the virus behind bars have come about because of litigation. There was a recent agreement reached with the Correction Officers Union where the DOC said all correction officers would have to be tested. That wasn't mandated until about 6 weeks ago. So there are a lot of questions. There's a lot of litigation moving forward about, are there other ways to deal with this? Should it be monitored legally? Should there be an independent person overseeing the Department of Correction and its efforts to try to deal with the virus? And I spoke with Katie Naples Mitchell, who's a legal scholar at Harvard Law School, and she feels that the state should be doing more. This is what she said.
The fact that these outbreaks are happening was avoidable had there been regular surveillance testing of staff, which are the primary vectors of bringing an infection into a largely closed environment where especially visitation had been prevented for many months. So the idea that there wasn't testing happening on a regular basis and that it took 8 months for the DOC to get the union to negotiate on that is really disappointing.
And so that's what Katie Naples Mitchell says, primarily about the agreement to try to get testing among staff members at the Department of Correction. And there are others who are calling on the state to do more. The SJC asked Governor Baker to use his clemency powers to try to reduce the number of people incarcerated and to either pardon or commute sentences so people could be released. So perhaps social distancing could improve in correctional facilities. So far, there has been one clemency hearing by the parole board, actually one in Governor Baker's entire time in office.
All right. That is WBUR's Deborah Becker. Deb, thanks.
You're welcome.